It's time for the Mendocino Country Independent News Hour. I'm co-publisher Christina Onnestad, your host this week. The Mendocino Country Independent News Hour is broadcast every week here on KMEC 105.1 FM, Mondays 5 to 6 p.m., and every week on KYBU 96.9 FM in Covelo. That's every Friday at 9 a.m. We've got some headlines coming up, and then we'll be back with some interviews. We'll be speaking with John Llewellyn. He's a congressional candidate, and he's organizing the Grassroots Peace Conversion. That's this coming Saturday, April 14th, in Boonville. It's from 12 noon to 3 p.m. at Lauren's Restaurant. Their keynote speaker will be Bruce Gagnon, who has spent the past 20 years creating peace in space instead of weapons. So they'll be discussing how to convert a weapons industry to create jobs and building a society based on renewable energy as opposed to a society based on war and arming the heavens. Yes, preparing for intergalactic warfare in outer space. Believe it or not, it's happening. So we'll be speaking with John Llewellyn about that event in Boonville this coming weekend. And we're going to have some headlines. We're going to take a musical break, and we'll be back with local news. Christina Onnestad, publisher of the Mendocino Country Independent. It's a monthly news magazine of local arts, culture, and news. I want to let you know that Caltrans faces another hurdle in its highway widening project. A federal judge ruled last week that the government agency needs to revamp its environmental impact statement to the proposed Richardson Grove highway widening project. The agency has repeatedly claimed widening Highway 101 through Richardson Grove, a Redwood State Park, would have no impact on the ancient redwood trees there. The trees are right along the edge of the highway. Environmental groups are suing the agency, claiming otherwise. They claim cutting the roots of the trees could have adverse impacts on the ancient redwoods. A federal court judge has sent Caltrans back to the drawing board to reassess the potential impacts on the trees. The widening project is on hold. Environmentalists claim the move is a small victory. Peter Galvin with the Center for Biological Diversity said in a press release, quote, less than 3% of our ancient redwood trees remain, yet Caltrans wants to cut through, injure, and pave over the roots of giant redwoods in a state park for the sake of a few more oversized trucks speeding through the grove. They expect us to believe there won't be any damage, but we'll keep fighting until Caltrans drops this misguided project, unquote. The Mendo Free School is up and running. The new community project offers more than 40 classes in the Ukiah Valley. That starts April to June. We'll have more on that later in the show. Walmart's proposed 47,000 square foot expansion in Ukiah has hit a hurdle. The Ukiah Planning Commission has voted to not support the project, citing concerns that 20% of the area has not met landscaping requirements. The Mendocino Environmental Center, where KMEC here is broadcasting out of, sued Walmart to ensure the company would offer more greenery in its development about two decades ago. It's a promise the multinational corporation has never kept. The Ukiah Planning Commission also noted concerns that the larger big box store would unfairly compete with local businesses. The Ukiah Planning Commission meets this Thursday, April 11th, to make its official vote. Walmart will then have 30 days to appeal the decision. Mendocino County Board of Supervisors meets today and tomorrow. One of the issues they're discussing is the Harris Quarry proposed project. Northern Aggregates wants a zoning permit to develop a cement and asphalt plant at the quarry. Local residents oppose the plan, citing concerns of environmental impacts and noise impacts on nearby neighborhoods. Advocates say trucking in concrete is costly and argue the plant would benefit the local economy. The County Planning Commission has already okayed the project. The supervisors are reviewing the impact statement today and tomorrow, where they'll also be taking public input. Should they approve it, the Harris Quarry proposed project will go back to the Planning Commission. Yokeo Biofuels has received a $1.8 million grant from the state's Energy Commission. The grant is to help the biodiesel plant upgrade its facilities. You can read more about this story in our new green business section in the Mendocino Country Independent. You can pick them up locally at the Ukiah Brewing Company, Mulligan Books, Dig Music, as well as Reflections of Avalon and the Ukiah Co-op. They're also here at the MEC, the Mendocino Environmental Center, 106 West Stanley Street. We're right across from the courthouse in downtown Ukiah. You can also read more about the Harris Quarry, the Walmart expansion project, and other stories in our paper as well, including a new review of the documentary that's out, released by Daryl Cherney, Who Bombed Judy Berry. And we have a really great art section about the Haiku Festival coming up in Ukiah, as well as artists in Blue Lake and paintings here in Ukiah as well. We're going to take a musical break, and then we're going to be back. We're going to be joined on the line with John Llewellyn. He's a congressional candidate, and he's organizing the Grassroots Peace Convergence, which is happening this Saturday. They'll be discussing disarming the heavens and creating a peace-based economy. The keynote speaker is Bruce Gagnon. We're going to take a musical break, and then we'll be back. Druid Sisters, Tea Party, Everyone Loves You is the name of that song. I want to let you know that the Mendo Time Bank presents Christine Canty's documentary about the consequences when government bureaucracies target small, independent family farms. It's the unseen war on American family farms called Farmageddon is the name of that documentary, and it's screening at the Saturday Afternoon Clubhouse, April 11th. At 6:30 p.m., that's 107 South Oak Street in Ukiah. The admission is time dollars. If you want to learn more, you can go to the Mendo Time Bank, mendo.timebanks.org. The Mendo Time Bank is an alternative currency-based project here in Mendocino County, and they're actually all over the world. The Independent covered the Mendo Time Bank in our paper several months ago, and it's where you exchange your time in exchange for other people's time. Well, On the line with us is John Llewellyn. He's a congressional candidate, and he's organizer of the Grassroots Peace Convergence, which is happening this weekend in Boonville. Good evening, John. Thanks for being with us.
Good evening, Christina. Thank you.
Great to have you. So tell us, what's happening Saturday? What is the Grassroots Peace Conversion?
Well, I'm really excited about the event we're having this Saturday at noon at Lauren's Restaurant in downtown Boonville, just across from the fairgrounds. We'll have 3.5 hours, and I think we're going to replant a seed that's been planted by peace activists over the years for peace conversion.
So,
peace conversion is an overriding theme of my campaign for Congress, and it's one of the main reasons I'm actually running for Congress. I believe that what's going on now is that the U.S. economy is primarily based on producing engines and machines of war, going to war, and it's almost uncontrollable. About 53% of our discretionary budget is going into war and war production and, you know, things to make war. And we're bringing a speaker, Bruce Gagnon, who's been working for peace conversion for over 20 years. He's an expert on weapons in space. He's the leader of the global movement to stop weapons in space. That's just one little piece of the military budget, but most people don't know that $9 billion are being spent on these weapons, which only threaten to start a war in space, which the United States would be sure to lose because all of our communication satellites are up there, all of our computer chips are vulnerable to a high-altitude nuclear attack. And the more we threaten, particularly Russia and China, the more they have to prepare to counterattack. And they want a complete space treaty. And we've been avoiding that for years under the suicidal theory that we can dominate the world in space. So this is one of the reasons I'm in the campaign. On noon this Saturday, April 14th at Lauren's, we're going to be presenting the vision, which is both visionary and practical, for peace conversion of our entire economy. That is where we just take and stop making machines of war and convert that money, that energy, that industry into making renewable sources of transportation, solving the problems of global warming by going to energy sources that don't produce carbon, and generally employing not just the people that get laid off by the weapons not being produced, but a whole lot more people, because you get a lot more jobs from doing peaceful work. Now, this is something that people have been trying to put together for a long time, and we're going to organize another attempt. It's a gigantic task, and it's definitely going to be done by the grassroots. It's going to be started by the people. But if you send me to Congress, it will become a National Peace Conversion Act, where even if it's not introduced in Congress, it will be a very visionary and practical act to convert our entire economy to peaceful production.
So, John, will you be discussing this Peace Conversion Act that you want to implement if you're elected to Congress at this event?
Definitely, yes. And Bruce Gagnon, our key speaker, he'll also bring a whole lot of information, knowledge of other people all over the world who are working in this same direction. And we're hoping out of this to just get a more organized and focused approach to really start developing the vision of a peaceful nation and world doing peaceful production and not making weapons of war.
So, John, could you give us an example of some of the things people are doing in their respective communities or in the larger nation to transition into a stronger peace-based economy?
Well, right here in Northern California, Marin County actually has a Peace Conversion Commission. It was created when the citizens passed the Nuclear Free Marin Act some years ago, making Marin County a nuclear-free zone. And it set up a Peace Conversion Commission to study all of the things that the county is buying in terms of goods and services to make sure that they weren't buying them from companies that produce weapons. And there were more efforts, to tell you the truth, in the 80s to actually work with workers at factories, particularly at the Livermore Nuclear Weapons Lab. And I was involved in that one with the Livermore Action Group to convert the nuclear weapons lab to peaceful pursuits. These things have not been fully developed, and we need to do more.
All right, and so my understanding is Bruce Gagnon will be the keynote speaker, and David Smith Ferry will be providing, he'll be doing some local poetry, and then there will also be music by Jay Allison and Bill Taylor, correct?
Yes, that's right, and a beautiful singer named Miranda, who's made an original song. Yes,
so, John, what made you want to put this whole thing together?
This is actually something that was initiated by my wife, Barbara. She saw that Bruce Gagnon was having a tour. He's going all the way from Los Angeles to Seattle. It's the 20th anniversary of the Global Network Against Weapons and Nuclear Power in Space, which he's the coordinator, and just trying to stir people up on studying what's going on with the military expansion, realizing how many more jobs that we could get when we go to producing trains and putting it into healthcare work and a lot of things like that.
And John, when you say weapons in space, not everyone's hip to that notion. Can you explain a little for people who maybe are just tuning in or people who are unfamiliar with that there are even weapons in space?
Yes. They call it the Twilight War because not many people think about it. I wrote a book on the topic a few years back. I wrote part of the book and printed some congressional testimony. It's called High Altitude Nuclear War. And what's happened is this, Christina. As of about the year 1999, the United States decided to abandon the treaty that was preventing missile defense systems from being made. And so that ended the balance of terror, and now there's been no balance and there's only terror. There's right now the United States is trying to dominate all fields of battle in the world. And they're particularly focused on space because they think that no other power has the money to keep up. And so there are all kinds of weapons that are designed to shoot lasers from space, and mostly they're concepts that won't work. The missile defense systems are being used to encircle both Russia and China, and they actually have offensive ramifications to them. They aren't really totally defensive. And all of this is kind of forcing Russia and China to develop a retaliatory means. And as I said, the United States can spend billions and billions of dollars trying to dominate space, which is actually going on now. But the countermeasures are very inexpensive. You could launch, for example, the equivalent of gravel and release that up there, and that would just make a big bunch of gravel going around the Earth that would chop up all of the communication satellites. And so it's a strange little strategic battle that could actually explode into war very suddenly with catastrophic consequences for the United States. And every year, the United Nations has a conference on disarmament. And Russia and China and all the other nations of the world, except for the United States and a couple of close allies, all the other nations in the world, they want to pass an act that would ban weapons in space, that would prevent an arm race in space. But the United States won't go along with it. And it has veto power over that kind of thing in the United Nations. And so it's this misguided and, I think, suicidal development of space weapons is something that I'm really concerned about. And one of the reasons I'm in the John Llewellyn for Congress campaign is so I can go on the radio and tell people about it. So thanks for giving me the opportunity.
All right. You're welcome, John. Now, my understanding, it's not just the U.S. that's preparing to have weapons for war in space. There are other countries like China or Russia that are doing the same thing.
Yes, definitely. And in my opinion, they're definitely ready to not do it at all because they're a lot more sane than we are. They know that any space war would be catastrophic for everybody. And so my theory, my belief is, if the United States joins with them in a treaty to stop doing this, then that will take the pressure off of them. Right now, the pressure is on them because we forge on with making weapons in space, with setting up missile systems around Russia and China. Bruce Gagnon just came back from Jeju Island in South Korea. That's a beautiful little island with a whole bunch of UNESCO nature preserves on it, and where people have lived for centuries, villagers living in harmony with the environment, fishing and farming. And so now what's going on is the South Korean and the United States military are collaborating to set up a great big naval base there for ships that will have missiles that can go into space and be able to attack China. And so there's a big confrontation there in February between the global network activists and the villagers who crossed the barbed wire around the naval base and the Korean forces. And that happened in February. Bruce Gagnon was there himself. He ended up pulling on one end of a kayak against a Korean military guy. And so he'll be talking about that this Saturday at noon in Lawrence.
All right, and what's the contact info for people who want more information?
Yeah, just please call me at 707-895-2996. That will be a way to contact me. If you want to get in touch with really learning about weapons in space, go to 3wspacenumber4peace.org. That's www.spacenumber4peace.org. And then you'll really learn how all these crazy things are being developed that we hope will never work. And if the other side really thinks they'll work, then we'll be in real trouble.
And, of course, these weapons for outer space are being developed with U.S. taxpayer dollars.
Exactly. Precisely.
Now, all right, John. Your event is this Saturday, April 14th, 12 noon to 3:30 p.m. in Boonville at Lauren's Restaurant. That's right off of Highway 128.
That's right. Come on over, and we're going to plant the seed for the grassroots peace conversion, so we won't be reacting as a peace movement anymore. will really show the vision that we have for the future and start to create it.
John Llewellyn, you're a congressional candidate for Congress.
Yes.
I want to thank you for being with us on the Mendocino Country Independent News Hour today.
Well, thank you for this opportunity, Christina. If you want to stay in touch with my campaign, go to www.johnllewellynforcongress.org or give me a call there at 895-2996. And I'd love to hear from you.
All right, John, thanks for being with us.
All right, Christina, thanks for calling.
That was John Llewellyn, congressional candidate running for a seat representing Mendocino, Humboldt, Del Norte, Sonoma, Marin counties here in California. And he's organizing the grassroots peace conversion with Bruce Gagnon. That's this Saturday, April 14th in Boonville, 12 noon to 3:30 at Lauren's Restaurant. Again, the number to call is 895-2996 for more information. And if people want to go on the web, they can visit www.space4peace.org. We're going to take a musical break, and then we'll be back with more news, some public service announcements, and Annie Esposito will be joining us. She's the co-publisher of the Mendocino Country Independent. She'll be joining us in the studios because she's leaving after 1 year of working on the Independent. She is passing on the torch, and she's moving on. She's got other pots in the fire, so to speak. And so we'll be visiting with her and learning what's next in her media world. She's going to be taking on El Sol, a bilingual newspaper here in Mendocino County. So we'll be visiting with Annie Esposito a little later in the show. And first we're going to take a musical break. The name of this song is Who Bombed Judy Berry? This is Daryl Cherney, who just had a film screening of his documentary of the same title, Who Bombed Judy Berry, in Willits last week.
Now Judy Berry is a wobbly organizer, a Mother Jones at the Georgia Pacific Mill. She fought for the sawmill workers hit by that PCB spill. G. Marshall Hunt's calling GP shots from Atlanta. Don Nelson sold in the Union long ago. Now they weren't gonna have no wobbly running their logging show. So they spewed out their hatred, and they laid out their scam. Jerry Philbrick called for violence, was no secret what they planned. So I can't move on to Barry. No, you're out there still. Broken body or the spirit you can't kill. Now Judy Berry is a feminist organizer. Ain't no man gonna keep that woman down. She defended the abortion clinic in fascist Ukiah town. Cavalry Baptist Church called for its masses. Camel buddies lined up in the pews. And you can see all of their faces in the Ukiah Daily News. And they spewed out their hatred as as Reverend Royal laid out the scam. Bill Staley called for violence. Was no secret what they planned. So I ask you now, who bombed Judy Barry? I know it's out there still. Have you seen her broken body? For the spirit you can't kill. Barry is an Earth First organizer. The California Redwoods are her home. Now she called for Redwood Summer, where the owl and the black bear roam. Charlie Hurwitz, he runs Mac Fam out of Houston. Harry Merlot runs LP from Portland Town. They're the men they call King Timber. They know how to cut you down. And Shep Tucker spewed their hatred as Candy Boak laid out their scam. John Campbell called for violence. Was no secret what they planned. So I ask you now, who bombed Judy Barry? I know you're out there still. Have you seen her broken body? Or the spirit you can't kill? Now Judy Barry is the mother of two children. A pipe bomb went ripping through her womb. She cries in pain at night time in her willing cabin room. FBI is back again with COINTELPRO. Richard Held is the man they know they trust. With Lieutenant Sims, his henchman. It's the world of boom and bust. The world answer is nonviolence. For seeking justice is our plan. And we'll avenge our wounded comrades as we defend the lavish land. So I ask you now, who bombed Judy Barry?
Listening to the Mendocino Country Independent News Hour. I'm Christine Onnestad, publisher of the Mendocino Country Independent. We're a monthly publication of local news, arts, and culture here in Mendocino County and beyond. I want to let you know that Gibson Creek Friends is looking for help. In Ukiah, they're looking for volunteers to help with restoration work this Saturday, April 14th. Help is needed to remove invasive plants and stabilize the creek bank by building a willow wall. The cross street is Willow Street. Volunteers will meet at Gibson Creek on Spring Street in Ukiah at 10 a.m. People should wear work clothes and gloves. Tools and refreshments will be provided. For more information, people can call Linda at 463-2721. Or they can email Caterly at juno.com, K-A-D-E-R-L-I at juno.com, J-U-N-O.com. The Mendocino County Youth Project is offering four $500 scholarships to a member of a graduating class of 2012. Those are from any public or private high school in Ukiah, Willits, Fort Bragg, or Point Arena. Applicants should be able to address the changes that brought them to the point where they're now prepared to enter college or vocational training. The application form is at the Mendocino County Youth Project in Ukiah. The deadline is Sunday, April 15th. For more information, call 463-4915. 463-4915. Transition Ukiah Valley is hosting a seed exchange. This is Saturday, April 21st, 9:30 a.m. to 12 noon at the Ukiah Saturday Farmers Markets. That's at Alex Thomas Plaza and School Street. People are encouraged to bring seeds in labeled envelopes, vegetables, natives, flowers, and herbs. Leave seeds at the Mulligan Bookstore beforehand if you can't attend. For more information, people can call 485-0917. Also want to let you know the Ukiah Haiku Festival is April 29th, 2 to 4 p.m. at Space Theater, 508 Perkins Street in Ukiah. April 28th is Workers' Memorial Day. That's a celebration organized at the Saturday Afternoon Clubhouse, 107 South Oak Street. Starts at 5 o'clock. It's a day to remember people who have died on the job. Speaking of death, Jamal Andrews' killer, alleged killer, Billy Nordbury, returned to court tomorrow where he will face murder charges. Mendocino County District Attorney David Iser tells The Independent he will not seek a hate crime enhancement against Nordbury, who allegedly shot Andrews on his front lawn in front of his partner and 7-month-year-old son. If found guilty, Nordbury faces up to 50 years in prison, 25 years for murder, and another 25 years for a gun charge enhancement. The court hearing again is Tuesday, tomorrow, 1:30 in Courtroom B. Judge John Banky is the presiding judge. In the studio with me is Annie Esposito. She's co-publisher of the Mendocino Country Independent. She's exiting co-publisher.
Yeah, ex-co-publisher.
Ex-co-publisher. Annie and I have been publishing the Mendocino Country Independent for 1 year now, since Richard Johnson's death. He left it to the two of us. And Annie is passing along the torch to myself.
Yay.
To carry the Independent on as she embarks on new projects.
Yeah, I don't know how many people know that Richard Johnson, who gave the Independent to Christine and I, I like to call it a publishing empire. He has four sibling newspapers. There's the Independent, which hopefully you're familiar with by now, which is civic and political issues. Then he had Vistas, which was entertainment and calendars and events and stuff, like the Pink Pages from the Chronicle or something. And then he had Confluence, which was all New Age stuff and healing and crystals and things like that. And so those were three of the four. And he was determined that those were separate audiences, and he would be appalled if he knew that we had to telescope them into one paper.
And that's exactly what we did.
But we did it because there was no other way. There was no way we could have done three newspapers like that.
Right.
He didn't leave the money for that. Au contraire. So I think he would be happy, though, because over the year and a month that we were working our little booties off to get...
Especially you, Annie. You've really been the backbone. I'm not sure how I'm going to do it, but
I know
we
you're
going to
do it, and I know that you're going to have people help you, and I think it's going to be brilliant. It'll be great.
Thanks.
And
I'll
try to help little places here and there. I think we're going to cross-pollinate, but I guess I should explain cross-pollinate with what. There was the fourth paper, doodly-doo-dee-doo, which was El Sol, which is a Spanish language paper. And Richard left that to Zezi, Augusto Chire, who has Zezi's place on the south part of town, and it's kind of a landmark. It's this sort of crenellated top with a big flaming dragon on it, and it's
a tattoo parlor.
Yeah.
Hair salon, tattoo parlor, piercing shop.
Yes.
Well, Zezi's quite the character. He used to host a show here on KMAC, and he ran, he started the Brown Party.
That's right. That's right.
He's quite active in the Latino community as well.
Yeah, the Brown Party was, he looked around, and he saw the Green Party, and he saw quite a few white parties, and he decided to be the Brown Party, you know, for issues like immigration and things like that.
And he received some flack from folks in the community, but he stuck with it for a while.
Yep. So Zezi was the recipient of El Sol, Richard's fourth paper. And unfortunately, Zezi was quite sick. Well, he actually spent all of his time while Richard was dying just waiting hand and foot on Richard, helping him every way he could. Just kind of gave up his whole own personal life. And then when it came to do the paper, Zezé himself got sick. He had some severe gout that slowed him down, and it was one health problem after another. And then now
he has cancer, is that correct?
Advanced prostate cancer, yeah. So, and then his wife just had a stroke. So right now, a year later, while we're celebrating, you know, the one-year birthday of the Independent, Zezé's in worse shape than he was a year
than
ago.
Than ever.
Yeah, and he's now talking about closing his business. You know, we're all one health disaster away from being on the street, and he's going to have to close the tattoo parlor, which to me, it's been there since I've been here in 90, I think, 91. And it's kind of a landmark on the south side of town with its garish facade and everything. I mean, I'm going to miss just that alone, you know, let alone a business on the south side. So that's very sad. He's going to be probably dismantling that business, selling it off, all of the equipment inside. And at the same time that that was happening, Josefina Dueñas, who hails from Puebla, Mexico, she had been a contributor to El Sol. And she said, I want to have El Sol come back. You know, Zezé can't do it, but I really think it needs to happen anyway. And she wants to really make it be what it was before in the old days, and taking care of the hard-hitting issues like immigration and racial profiling by law enforcement on their stops and stuff like that. In the time that Richard died, in the year of dormancy of El Sol, there has been the birth of El Punto, and that's a Spanish language paper that will be celebrating its first birthday this month, I believe. And the thing about El Sol is Josefina's vision is that it'll be different, that El Punto is lovely. I like to read it. But it doesn't have the unpleasant things in it. You know, it doesn't talk about immigration and ICE and all of these kind of things. It's more like a celebratory paper, which we also need. Quinceañeras and, you know, kinds of great things that are going on. So we need that. But we also, Josefina thinks that we need to have dealing with problems in the press, too, so that people are aware of what's happening and then also have the good side of it, too. So we're hoping that it'll come out on in time for Cinco de Mayo in Ukiah. So that's our goal, so we can pass it around.
Cinco de Mayo, good timing.
Yeah, it's also good timing. There's a lot of synchronicity in it because Josefina is actually from Puebla, in Mexico, which is the site of the Cinco de Mayo battle.
The Cinco de Mayo victory.
Yeah. Which is, if people probably know this, it was where a ragtag army of peasants ran off these French cavalry with, you know, swords and arms of all different kinds and horses, and it was just the best equipped army you can imagine against people wearing rags and with sticks and rocks.
Lowly peasants.
And so that was like
a successful people's uprising.
It was. It wasn't really a strategically successful battle, but it was a successful battle in raising everybody's morale. They could look at this and say, hey, you know what? We could do this. And so then it was years later that, in fact, the French were forced to withdraw. So that's the Cinco de Mayo story, and we hope El Sol will be on the streets in time for that. It's going to be, actually, they're going to be having Cinco de Mayo on Seis de Mayo this year. It'll be on Sunday, May 6th, Alex Thomas Plaza, as usual. And we hope to have a brand new edition of El Nuevo Sol.
El Nuevo Sol. And so with you, some of the changes that we've done in the Independent was we put together Richard's three different papers into one paper, and we increased the printing and the amount of copies, which are going fast.
I know, it's really great.
It is really wonderful. I'm already down to, I think, less than 500 copies, and I had 1,000 a week ago.
Yeah, I have 400 left, and I had 1,000 a week ago. And actually, they're going to go to Will Parrish overnight, and he's going to stuff them with schedules for the free school.
Yes. Yes, well, I was hoping to be able to speak with them today, but that's not going to happen. But the Mendo Free School is a project. I just want to let people know that it's a free school project in Mendocino County, and particularly inland here in the Ukiah Valley, and it's a series of different classes that are free. And I'm participating as a publisher of The Independent here at the MEC, Mondays from 6:30 to 7:30. Just right after the show here at the KMEC, people can stop by for an hour and learn the basics of news, print, and radio journalism. And your final projects will be printed in our newspaper, and they'll be broadcast on our radio news hour every week.
How cool is that?
Yeah, that's great. So it's going to be really fun, and it's going to be a good way, a positive way to engage with the community and receive more contributions to our paper, really make it a community paper. For more information, give us a call at 468-1660 for the Independent Journalism Free School Media class that I'll be hosting starting tonight, actually, or just come on by, 106 Stanley Street. We're right across from the courthouse. Annie, with the El Sol, are you guys going to be color? Are you guys going to be black and white? What kind of humble beginnings are we looking at?
Well, since we're starting with zero, we don't really have any idea, just like we didn't when we started The Independent, you know. So we have hopefully money to publish an 8-page with maybe 4 pages of color. But then we don't know where the second issue is ever going to come from, so that'll kind of depend on when we can get it together for the next issue. We're already starting to get our first ads, so we'll see how that happens, you know.
That's
It'll
great.
Depend. It may not be a monthly right away. So instead of having every month black and white 8 pages, we might start out every other month with the 4 pages of color. You know, we'll just have to kind of play it by ear. I have to say, we didn't know how The Independent would go, and it went great. I mean, I get good feedback on it all the time. And you wonder, you know, do we really need a monthly paper for the county? And apparently we do. People like being connected with all the issues that are going on. You get kind of summaries of the hot spots, you know.
Yeah, and you did so good on reporting from the inland issues that are happening in the Ukiah Valley, so we're really going to miss your contributions. But I'm hoping that we can continue to do some cross-pollination.
Oh, I hope so, yes. And we're very dependent on all your important ocean coverage, because that's always a problem. What are they going to do next over there, you know, go out and kill all the mammals with their, you know, their war games and everything, their sonar. And so there's really important issues from the coast, and I'm really glad that you've been able to cover those. I think that there'll be things that I probably write for El Sol that would be appropriate also for the Indy. You know, we'll see what ways we can help.
So it's going to be bilingual. Can you give us a little heads up on some of the stories you're working on?
Yeah, well, there was one thing is that
don't want to blow your cover entirely.
Oh no! Well, first of all, there will be. Josefina's already written about the Cinco de Mayo, the history of it, what it means, and then also she'll have something about the actual celebration in Puebla, where they're having a feria going on at the same time. And, you know, we say that they don't really celebrate it in Mexico, and they don't, but they celebrate it in Puebla.
Yeah, I bet.
So we'll have that, and unfortunately, we have our own little tragedies. There was a 19-year-old man, Anthony, gosh, I'm not going to forget his name now. I'm going to feel terrible. He just was killed in an accident near Mount Shasta with a teenager from Ukiah High School.
Ooh, and tragic.
Yeah, and he was very active in the arts community. He did, you know, those poi balls that are fireballs that you swing around, and he was very active in space. And so we'll have something on that. We're going to have an interview with Zezi. Zezi's talking about going back to Peru, where he can handle his tragic situation better. And he has family there, and so forth. So we have a big interview with Zezi about his whole experience with El Sol in the past and El Sol in the future, which he's leaving to Josefina Duena. So that's going to be great.
Oh, nice. And you, the two of you are taking it on as co-publishers.
Well, she's Josefina's going to be the publisher, and I'm the enabler.
Okay.
One of the things that stopped Sezzy, besides that he couldn't operate in his ill health, was doing the layout, you know. And so that's something that I'm going to do for Josefina at first, and then she'll eventually take it over, or maybe some of her children will, who are more electronically capable than either of us. So
I want to go back to the young man who passed away. His first name was Anthony.
Yeah.
Anthony Delgado.
That's it. Thank you.
Oh, yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. Okay. He was a known, excellent poi spinner.
Yeah.
And he performed at the Anderson Valley Variety Show, and that's a
that's
shame.
Right.
That's too bad.
And then there was a young...
19 years old.
Yeah, then there was a young woman with him who was 17, J.C. And I'm sorry, I'm so terrible on last names today, but J.C. and Anthony both... snuffed out at such a, you know, as teenagers, it's really so sad. You know?
Car accident.
Yeah, on the Highway 89 near Mount Shasta.
Drinking and driving, was that involved at all?
I don't know anything about that. I
think. Okay.
They were hit by a pickup truck.
And oh, tragic. Another loss in our community.
Yeah. So we'll have all kinds of little community things like that that have been going on in I think I actually did bring a story list with me. We might have a Latina realtor in Willits talking about foreclosures in the Latino community. That's one thing we're interested in.
And it's going to be bilingual. So will you have the same stories in Spanish and in English?
Well, now this is the grand experiment. There is a paper out of Santa Rosa de la Voz that has the same story in English and the same story in Spanish, and Josefina doesn't want to do that. She thinks it's boring. But, of course, she's bilingual, so she doesn't have any problem reading both. So I don't know how that's going to be for other people, but her vision right now is to have some stories in English and some in Spanish. Dos voces juntos, two voices together in the heart of Ucayah Valley. And then there'll be English stories and Spanish stories, but they'll be different stories. The content will be different. We might do a little thing like after her story on Cinco de Mayo in Spanish, I have a little paragraph in English, just kind of a little summary, but it's entirely different.
Oh, fascinating.
So we'll see if that works. That's the way we're starting out.
Wonderful. And hopefully, El Sol, you guys are more than welcome to have an hour here. So hopefully we'll see you guys do some kind of a radio version on KMEC.
Oh, that's
and
great.
And even maybe take over one of our slots on Mondays, 5 to 6.
That would be great. We could have a bilingual version. And that would be fantastic, yeah.
Wonderful. Well, Annie, it's about... we're about up here for the day. So any last comments you'd like to make as we wrap it up and say goodbye?
No, I just hope everybody will look out for El Sol and support all four papers, the 3-in-1, the independent, which is, you know, independent plus, and then hopefully El Sol can get as good of a foothold as the independent has.
Has had in the community. Well, Annie, best to you, and thank you for being with us today
on
the Independent News Hour.
Onward and upward.
A couple of announcements. Want to let you know, Walk a Mile in Her Shoes is happening Saturday, April 28th, Project Sanctuary. It's 564 South Door Street. A Walk a Mile in Her Shoes is a men's march to end violence. It's a lighthearted way to raise awareness about ending sexual violence. Men of all ages are invited to grab a pair of ladies' large-sized shoes during registration of the event, bring your own, and take a short walk around downtown. Women, teens, girls, and boys are also encouraged to take the march. 10 o'clock is registration. 10:30 is an opening ceremony, and the march begins at 10:45. Again, this is Walk a Mile in Her Shoes, a men's march to end violence and sexual violence against women. People can organize a team, collect pledges. For more information, they can call 462-9196, 462-9196, or you can visit projectsanctuary.org. Eco-Spirituality, a class series with interactive teachings based on Matthew Fox's Creation Spirituality, Meditation and Ritual Celebration, is Mondays, April 9th, 16th, and 23rd from 7 to 9 p.m. For information, call 462-3360, 462-3360, extension 102 to register. It's at the Ukiah United Methodist Church on Bush and Stanley Street here in Ukiah. Again, we want to thank Annie Esposito for her year of service to the Independent, for really keeping this labor of love surviving and thriving. It's been a really great, successful paper. Merck, of course, coming from humble beginnings. Richard Johnson left the paper to both Annie and myself, and we've been publishing it for a year now, and we've doubled the amount of papers that we publish, and we've increased it to include color photographs as well. And she's moving on to do the same, to build El Sol, which was Richard Johnson's Spanish version of The Independent. We want to wish her well and thank her. And that's about it. So we want to thank you for joining us on this week's Mendocino Country Independent News Hour. We're going to go out with another song from the CD called Who Bombed Judy Berry? And the name of this song is Logging to Infinity. Actually, we're just going to do this song. It's called Bomb School. And we'll be back next week, same time, same place. And before we end, I just want to remind you that the Mendocino Country Independent News Hour is offering a free school media class Mondays, 6:30 to 7:30 here at the MEC, 106 West Stanley Street. We're right across from the courthouse. Give us a call at 468-1660 if you'd like to be a contributor to The Independent, either our print version or our radio program. You can come and learn the ins and outs of radio and print journalism. It's a free class, April to July, Mondays, 6:30 to 7:30.
I thought the FBI was evil before all this stuff. My cynicism has had a very hard time keeping up with reality in this case. Because this one even shocked me. What we discovered in the course of the deposition is that 1 month before the bomb went off in my car on May 24th, 1990, almost exactly a month to the date, the FBI conducted a bomb school, their words, in Eureka, California, up in the Redwood region. And what they did at bomb school was they blew up cars with pipe bombs and practiced responding. And the teacher of bomb school was Special Agent Frank Doyle, the very same one who took over the scene. And the students at bomb school included at least five, and we're trying to find out more, of the responding officers who worked under him picking up the debris.